the epistle appointed to be read for the Feast of the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come, as you have seen him going into heaven. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working withal, and confirming the word with signs that followed. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear people, you have, I am sure, heard of the 12 tribes of Israel. And the tribes lived around 1,500 years before the time of our Lord. And Israel was another name for Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons, and each of his 12 sons formed the 12 ancient tribes. Joseph was the youngest of the 12 brothers, and his brothers thought that their father favored young Joseph over the other 11, and they were jealous over this. In fact, their jealousy soon turned into hatred, as all too often happens. And so it was on a certain day that while the brothers were tending to their father's flock, that some of them decided to kill their younger brother, Joseph. However, they did not want the blood of their younger brother on their hands. Their consciences were not completely destroyed, so they decided to sell him as a slave. And at that time, some merchants happened to be traveling on their way to Egypt. And as they passed by, the brothers called out to them. After discussing the possibility of selling a slave to them, the Egyptians agreed to their offer. Yeah, but before they sold Joseph, His brothers took his outer garment from him. Later they dipped the garment in the blood of an animal, and they brought it home to show their father. And at the sight of his son's blood-stained clothes, Jacob broke down in sorrow and anguish and began to weep over the loss of his youngest son. And meanwhile, the merchants had taken Joseph all the way to Egypt, and there, upon arrival, they sold him. And his life, from the moment that his brothers turned on him until some time after he had been in the service of the Pharaoh, were hours, days of complete desolation, sorrow, and misery. He was completely abandoned by his own family, for all his brothers had betrayed him, and the rest of his family thought that he was dead. The land into which he had entered was a great distance from his homeland. The people worshipped a different god, a false god, and their customs were strange, completely foreign to the ones he was used to. And he was destined to be a slave for Pharaoh. So here was this young man, at one moment enjoying a peaceful life as a shepherd, working for his father, content, satisfied with life, suddenly torn from everything he had ever known and loved immediately. And you know the striking thing with this Old Testament story is that even though he was placed in this painful position, Joseph nevertheless always carried out his duties, his humble duties, and the most tiring tasks that he was given with devotion. No matter how monotonous his work was, he was constant. He tried to faithfully fulfill his duties. And he even did them with a certain zeal. And one day, his hard and tireless efforts did pay off. So happened that on a certain day, the Pharaoh, or the king of Egypt, had a dream. And the dream left him very perplexed. He was puzzled because he could not figure out the meaning of the dream. And interestingly enough, no one was able to interpret the dream except for Joseph. Joseph told the Pharaoh that Egypt would have 7 years of plentiful crops and harvests, which were to be followed by 7 years of famine. And you know, as a reward for his honesty, his ability, and his devotion to him, Pharaoh actually made Joseph next to himself in royal power, saying to him, "Behold, I have appointed thee over the whole land of Egypt." And he took the ring from his own hand and gave it into his hand, and he put upon him a robe of silk, and he put a chain of gold about his neck. And you can only imagine how joyous he must have been when he was reunited at last with his family. He forgave his brothers of their awful crime, and they were now more than willing to be subject to their youngest brother, for they were able to partake of the goods of Egypt, especially during the great famine of 7 years which struck Egypt. And thus it was that Joseph, who literally had nothing at first, was in the end raised by Pharaoh to a height that he never before would have imagined. And today, my dear people, we celebrate the ascension of our Lord into heaven. For the space of 40 days, we have been reminded of our Lord's presence on the earth as we come here into the chapel throughout the days after Easter, and we are reminded of this presence of our Lord upon the earth by the Paschal candle here in the sanctuary. The lit Paschal candle has been a reminder to us of particularly two things, that our Lord leads us on the path of virtue, and also that He constantly bestows His graces upon us. And now that we celebrate His ascension, we manifest His departure from this world by the extinguishing of the Paschal candle. In the epistle we read, "And while they," that is the apostles, "were beholding Him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven?'" The apostles were looking up to heaven because they were saddened over the departure of our Lord from this earth, and no longer was He to be seen by them as He had been seen before. Undoubtedly, Our Lady herself and the apostles were sad that our Lord had left them, but they were nevertheless at the same time joyful, because they knew that one day they were to follow our Lord into heaven. Of course, our Lord was to remain with them in the Blessed Sacrament. He would be with them in His sacramental presence, but our Lord would no longer be among His people in His physical presence. Nonetheless, both the Blessed Virgin Mary and the apostles rejoiced over our Lord's ascension because He was going to prepare a place for them, just as our Lord was also going to prepare a place for us. And this is why, in point of fact, my dear people, we rejoice on this day. We celebrate the Feast of the Ascension not just because it is commanded by the Holy Mother of the Church as a holy day of obligation, but because we hope that one day we too shall follow our Lord into heaven. And to ensure our salvation, it is necessary that we walk the royal road of suffering. We must follow our Lord. We must take the path that He has given us to follow. And we cannot get to heaven without picking up our daily crosses and carrying them with our Lord. On Good Friday, we looked at our Lord's Passion before Easter. We went and we saw our Lord there on Calvary, crushed by sorrow, died upon the cross, covered with blood flowing from His numerous wounds. And our Lord suffered all those intense sufferings specifically for us. And because He suffered, that doesn't mean the suffering in this life has come to an end. It only means that we, as members of the mystical body of Christ, have to share our lot in the suffering. And in doing so, we will merit a higher place in heaven. Sometimes here people talk about the good fortune of others, how other people have so much wealth, so much money, that if I had that, then I would be perfectly happy. Everything would be fine. You would never hear me complain once. And so on. But you know that those people, if they don't truly understand that happiness does not consist in the money, it does not consist in the goods with which the world, the modern day world today, is consumed with love for riches, for money, for fame, to be seen. Because you know all these things are going to come to an end. Someday, we do not know the day nor the hour, but one day everything we see will come to an end. We will have to say at some point in our life here on earth goodbye to the things that we own, every single material good. Whether we die with a few dollars in our name or with millions. Either way, the only thing that we will be able to take out of this world are the merits which we acquire during our lifetime. And how much a person merits in this life is, in the end, the only thing that really matters. And that is why suffering well for the love of God is so important. And that is the very reason that we can find encouragement during the trials that we are sent, during the difficulties our Lord allows us to undergo. That's what we should look at, the merits that we are able to attain a higher place in heaven. Whatever affliction we have to endure, we ought to embrace it and to offer it to the Sacred Heart. Let us then be devoted to the duties of our state in life, whatever they may be, by faithfully fulfilling our obligations. Imitate Joseph in the story, the youngest son of Jacob, who had the lowest office on earth, that of a slave, and in the end was raised to the highest office possible, that of next to the Pharaoh, or the king of Egypt. So that whatever station we may have on this earth, we may in the end attain to the highest degree possible, that of the eternal salvation of our souls, and to be able to see the beatific vision of Almighty God for all eternity. And when you feel like everything that you are doing perhaps is worthless, when you are tempted to give up the duties of your Satan life, in those moments, think of the eternal bliss of heaven. While merit, my dear people, is everlasting, material possessions are only temporary. So let us then imitate more often the apostles in the epistle of today's Mass. For the angel said to the apostles, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven?" Strive then, my dear people, to look more often to heaven, especially in times of difficulty and sadness, to try to consider your own ascension into heaven. In other words, during the day, raise your mind to your one and true lasting home, heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.